Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now. Right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I was like, I think I won at that point. I don't know.
Maybe.
Like, not that we're keeping score, yeah. But I just was like, I don't know.
So that was weird. Yeah, but bottom line is I hate John Cusack ever since then. I just told Jeff the story, and it is humiliating. Maybe one day. For the Gas Bags podcast, I'll delve into it a little bit more. 437-968 UPS Job Sex Line, the V Show on a Tuesday here on ESPN 680 105.7. Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valvano, Tanner Bertomesso in for Bobby V today. Shout out a couple of our food drops today. Raising Cane's, game plan ahead with the Raising Cane's mobile app or by ordering at RaisingCane's.com. Also, shout out to Prime and Alani New.
Yeah.
I don't know how we...
That's a Bosch thing. Shout out to Andrew Bosch.
Yeah. We were busting his balls, like, deservedly so, on Middays with Marcus Maben, but he deserves his flowers as well because he's got some sort of plug. We walk in here, and there's just bushels of Prime and Alani Nu, and your boy had the Tropsicle, I think is the flavor.
Yeah, I had Alani Nu Cherry Twist.
Cherry Twist?
Yeah, Cherry Twist, Alani Nu energy drink. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And your boy is feeling it right now. Like, I'm pretty sure I could, like,
I'm amped up too.
I could climb a mountain. I want to climb a mountain and punch the moon in the face.
This stuff,
like,
works.
Your boy is feeling it right now, for sure. So shout out Bosch. Yeah. Shout out Alani Nu and Prime. I don't have any talking points, but if you give us stuff, we say good things about you. That might be radio peyote. I'm not sure. We'll see. Also want to remind everybody that the NBA finals are coming to you right here on ESPN Louisville. We will have the Mavs and Celtics game 3 tomorrow, 9 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville.
Is Kesty on the call?
I believe Kesty will be on the call.
Gotta wait, Kesty.
That's presented by our friends at Bearnose Pizza. Yeah, it's that good. And UPSjobs.com. Tonight, Reds and Guardians, 6:40 right here on ESPN 680 105.7. All right, so we got about 10 minutes or so before we get Neil Knuckles Greenberg on. And I wouldn't mind him weighing in. Well, you know, yeah, that's fair. Tanner reminds me how time works. It is 1:36. Maybe we can get Neil's thoughts on this. But just initially, I mean, the story coming out that, and it's near and dear to my heart, the 1983 NC State Wolfpack basketball team, with the exception of Lorenzo Charles, who made the last second dunk, who has sadly passed away in 2011 from, I believe, a car accident, and Derek Wittenberg, who works with the NC State athletic department, with the exception of those two, I believe the remaining
10 players
have sued the NCAA.
Yes.
Basically, you know, for past, I'm trying to pull up the official wording of it, but basically they're saying that the NCAA has profited off of the cardiac pack and a lot of highlights and everything like that, you know, from the historic run. And they're, you know, asking for back pay over, you know, back pay for NIL compensation. And I don't know where I stand on this, because I feel like at some point the NCAA is going to have to say, okay, we're not paying anybody anymore.
Not but pre-NIL. It's legal.
Yeah.
They're not going to win this one.
I feel bad for them because I see their point, and I feel like any college athlete
that
wasn't able to
50, 100 years or whatever.
How many times, whenever the March Madness happens, do we see historic moments? I mean, we always see Uncle Jim running on the court. We always see the Wittenberg shot
air slash ball,
pass, to Lorenzo Charles. I mean, we see all that stuff I mean, highlights like that all the time. The same thing with college football.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really any sport, but, I mean, those are the two major money-making ones. And you see these highlights from the past, and, I mean, that athlete can't get any compensation for it. I do feel for them, but I do wonder when the line in the sand, because the NCAA is already paying a lawsuit for past NIL.
Yes.
It's $2.8 billion, I believe, for athletes going back to, I think, 2015, is that right? Mm-hmm. Do I have the year right on
something like that? Yeah,
something like that. Mm-hmm. But at what point do they? I mean, unless they just go, well, hey, we're just gonna if you make a claim, we'll pay you $1,000 if you were a college athlete from 1975 until now. Because I mean, if the NC State wins this lawsuit,
the floodgates open,
mm-hmm. and any former athlete is gonna. Understandably, like, demand their recompense.
Well, and the reason why I don't think they'll win this, because one, you don't want to set a precedent that any and everybody that, like, if the thing was a rule or wasn't a rule when you played, unfortunately, that's just how it works. Like, it just wasn't, like, whether it was right or wrong, and it was wrong. Let's get it right. Like, let's make it clear. Them not being able to profit off their own name, image, and likeness, or guys getting suspended or kicked off teams or deemed ineligible because they, you know, got a free meal or whatever, or somebody paid for them a bus ticket or something. Like, all of that was wrong, and it was always wrong, and I always thought something was wrong with that, and turns out it was.
Yeah,
I think that's what the Supreme Court ultimately said. But I'm saying all that to say, I don't think these guys have a shot, because, like, think about the three biggest components to the 83 team: your Uncle Jim,
right?
Wittenberg, who isn't in the lawsuit, and Charles, who actually made the shot.
Right.
Like, those are the three things, or three people. The most famous person in all of this was Jim Valvano.
Right.
And unless you got something to tell us, Nick, that you guys filed a lawsuit, nobody else has really much of a claim. I'm just being honest. Like, just as a non-biased perspective, if you ain't a Valvano and you're looking to get paid, which he was compensated, he was the coach.
Nick, get paid, brother. Like, come on now.
And if he's not asking for back pay from the NCAA, I don't think nobody else got much of a... Because I can't name these other guys.
But, like, I mean, I know them, but it's because, you know, it's Uncle Jim's team.
Absolutely.
And everything.
They won the title, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I didn't know the whole team.
Yeah.
You know, I knew, like, Cozell McQueen and Thurl Bailey and mm-hmm. everything. And I knew Thurl Bailey, and I think... Is Sidney Lowe on there, too? I mean, the former coach of, like...
I think Sidney Lowe was
Sidney
on there.
Lowe's
I know
on there.
Some of the names sound familiar because of the 30 for 30.
Right.
Like, but that, to me, that is your compensation. The fact that I can even recognize that 30 years later because of you got a documentary, you got these things. Like, you get to, even now to this day, because of the miraculous run that you made and the fact that your coach is Jim Valvano, you still get to do some really cool stuff that a lot of other teams that won titles in the 80s. Don't get to do.
Right.
Like, a lot of other teams don't get recognized or remembered or ingratiated in people's mind like that 83 NC State team, because none of them were coached by Jim Valvano and get that iconic running around looking for somebody to hug, like all of that stuff. And then the V Foundation and what you guys do now to this day, like, that always is going to remind people of that 83 team. Everybody else doesn't get that.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's,
I mean,
why
it was,
like,
also, I mean, dramatic and upset and everything.
Absolutely.
Like that.
The
not
run.
All championships are, you know, built the same. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's a good point. And I mean, look, I mean, I feel for them. I feel for any athlete that's trying to get what they feel is their just due. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm rooting for these guys, but I'm with you. Like, I don't think, because, like you said, I mean, if they grant them this, who's to say any college athlete that,
like,
was ever in a highlight of anything?
Yeah. Because imagine if you grant them this. What do you think Christian Laettner could get?
Yeah, seriously.
You know what I mean? What do you think the Fab Five could get? Like, even though all those guys made it to the NBA. But, like, what do you think, like, some of these dudes who were, like, individual megastars?
Right.
You know, Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner. Like, these guys didn't have illustrious NBA careers, but they were rock stars in college. So what do you think? Like, that's why I'm saying, like, that's why I don't think there's a shot in hell that they win. And that's not a diss on them. I just don't think that's a Pandora's box that they want to open.
No, I mean, because at what point then? I mean, picture, Cal Stanford, 82, banned on the field.
Yeah.
Like, who's to say the Cal, you know, fullback
gets shown everywhere.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm constantly, I'm in that video.
Yes.
You know, how
or
come I'm not getting
member.
My...
Or a band
member.
Or,
yeah,
you know, I'm the one with the trombone that got trampled, or, you know,
I got
whatever.
Truck stick.
Like, like, whatever. So, no, yeah, it's like I said, I don't think they really have much of a chance, simply because the NCAA, like, honestly, if anything, they can't do it, but you got a chance of getting your highlights now eliminated, not shown anymore, not shown as often. That's the only, like, that's the scary thing, because that 83 run and that highlight of Wittenberg airballing and Charles putting it back and not even realizing he won the game, like, that is ingratiated in a lot of people's minds who weren't even born then.
Right.
And you don't want to, because this pisses the NCAA off,
for them to not use
it anymore in promotional efforts. And it's like, no, man, that's what the tournament's about. It's about stuff like
moments like that.
Exactly. And especially a moment, an iconic moment like that in the national championship game, put back to win it. Like, you want that to be shown forever.
Yeah, right.
And you don't want it to go away.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a monetary amount that would, at least, not a realistic one.
Yes.
You know, like, is that worth $1,000? You know, it's one of those things. Like, I don't know. Now, would it be worth $1.2 million? Maybe. But I don't think that's what they're going to be entitled to get. So we'll definitely see how that goes. I feel for those guys. I've quite fond of those guys obvious reasons. Yeah. But I don't know if it's going to yield anything. But we will see. Very happy now to be joined by the C3PO of sports, Neil Knuckles Greenberg, joining us of the Washington Post now. Neil, before we get into some NHL and NBA, the NC State 1983 team suing the NCAA basically for, like, back pay and NIL opportunities. Do you think they have a case at all?
I don't think so. I mean, it was a much different landscape back then, and everyone was operating under the same agreements that there wouldn't be pay. I think that's a tough one, and I was listening to you guys. I mean, not to mention that would set a precedent that literally any star or star team or any person of note would be able to go back in sports, you know, and kind of demand compensation. I just don't think that we're going to see something like that happen. And I think that's a tough one. That's a tough one. It's, I don't know what the unauthorized use is. I don't know. I mean, if their likeness is being used unauthorized, then that's something different. But I'd have to see, I guess, more of the facts. But I think just because, you know, their likeness is being used, you know, that would be challenging. If it's unauthorized, then obviously it's a different conversation. But I see this as something that probably gets settled outside of a lawsuit.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I like those guys for obvious reasons. But, Jeff and I were talking. It's
the NCAA would never want something like this to be precedent, right? Like, they'd much rather settle for a quote-unquote reasonable compensation than have it, you know, open the door to more litigation. That's any entity, right? I mean, that's just fiscal sense, whether we agree with it or not. I don't see this going too far.
No, and I brought up the example. I mean, if this happens, then it sets a precedent that the 1982 Stanford football team deserves recompense for the, you know, the band on the field video that's constantly being played. So I love those guys.
And what about highlights? Like, you know, we see these highlights before every championship, right? There's always highlights before college championships. And is that use of name, image, and likeness? Like, do they need to be compensated for that? I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of the legal system, but that would certainly, you know, be a question. Like, what happens to the highlights? Can you use that? Do you have to pay for that? Like,
I guess I kind of wonder how the use of the highlights directly translates to monetary value. Like, I don't know if it's like
it's advertising.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know exactly how they're measuring that. So I don't, truth be told, I don't know all the ins and outs and details of the lawsuit, but just the view from 30,000 feet doesn't look like this is going to yield any results for the 1983 guys. So we will definitely see there. Before we get into the NBA and NHL with our man Neil Knuckles Greenberg, at N Greenberg on Twitter, any takeaways from the Belmont this weekend?
Yeah, my horse resilience just seemed like it just stopped running. You know, that was a little bit of a challenge, but more so, I think, and what I've been saying all along, like, this 3-year-old crop has no standout. We've seen this now a different horse winning each of the three legs of the Triple Crown. Dornick had a really strong race. I don't know. I think we'd have to look forward to the Travers and the Haskell to, and maybe even the Breeders' Cup to figure out, you know, who's going to be the top three-year-old in the country. But it's been a good Triple Crown. I mean, you know, I feel bad for Belmont, the Belmont Stakes, because whenever there's not a Triple Crown on the line, and a lot of the casual fans lose interest. You know, to have, I thought it was the most competitive of the three races, and I think, you know, I'm interested to see which horses take a step forward over the next couple months.
Was there any overall takeaway for the health of the sport, given the fact that it wasn't a Triple Crown year? Baffert wasn't part of
it. Dying because the tracks don't cater to the bettors. They cater to the breeders and the trainers and the owners. The takeout for horse race bets are very high. Win play show bets like 15% on the low end. That's a lot. That's a lot to take out when you consider like your traditional NFL side or total is like 4.5%. So 15%, you know, contending with that's difficult. The exotic bets are even more, upwards of 20% in some cases. Yeah, I mean, the field sizes are down. The average field size now is like 5 or 6 horses, down from like 7 and 8, you know, a decade ago. The race classes are much lower. I mean, you see just a lot of optional claiming races because they can't fill out the field, so they need these allowance horses to race with the claiming horses. You see a lot of the non-winners of two, which is a very low-grade race of horse. So I think horse racing in general is in on critical life support. But until they try to entice the bettors and try to get some of that sports betting money, I think that it's only a matter of time before it comes extinct.
Now, what's the easiest like fix? Like it is like you listed a litany of things that the sport needs to do better. But what do you think is the most turnkey?
And you got to two things. One, you got to lower takeout so that people that know what they're doing are willing to invest more in the betting. Because, like I said, you know, a takeout of 15% is really high. You have to win a high amount of your bets, and you're contending with these big computer analytical conglomerates that, you know, can literally affect the price of the horse like a minute or two before post time. But also education. I mean, you have a lot of these quote-unquote experts that are offering pick advice, and I would say 90% of it is absolute trash, like flaming trash, because they're just not setting bettors up for success. They're advocating favorites defensively, even though they like an 8-to-1 shot in the same race. So there's just a lot of educational component that's lacking. It's too expensive to bet, you know, on regular basis, and you know, like I said, you have these big computer conglomerate analytical think tanks that are really good at what they do. Plus, they get a rebate, so they don't even have to win as much. They can break even and still turn a profit. So it's hard. Like those three things are really what's keeping the sport from dying.
Neil Knuckles Greenberg of the Washington Post joining us right now at N Greenberg on Twitter. Good stuff there, talking a little bit about horse racing. Now switching it up to the NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals, the NBA Finals. Starting in the NHL, I mean, is this one of those cases where even a potent scoring duo like Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are just running into a hot goalie in Sergei Bobrovsky of Florida? What do they need to do to get the series back in Edmonton's favor after dropping the first two games in Florida?
Yeah, I mean, goaltending is fickle, and when you have a good goaltender, obviously you're not going to be able to score goals. I've said that I thought Florida and Carolina were the two best teams in the NHL heading into the playoffs. Here's Florida right now, 2-0 on the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, I mean, look, you need your best players to be your best players in short series. And if the goaltender of the opposing team is the best player, you're going to have a very difficult time making stuff happen. 3-0, 4-1, you know, these games aren't really even close. And, you know, now you find yourself in a 2-0 hole. I I would be shocked if Florida dropped three of the next five games, or four of the next five games, I guess. So I think that this one's kind of over. A little bit sad because, you know, all of Canada's hopes were kind of resting on one of the best players in the NHL, arguably two of the best players in hockey with McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. So it's a tough one. It just, you know, again, if you can't score, you know, obviously you can't win. And right now, Edmonton can't score.
Well, not only that, like the Panthers seem to just be suffocating. I mean, I saw them do it to my Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're basically outshooting the Oilers 2-1. I mean,
I mean, McDavid has 9 shots on goal. Draisaitl has 6. You know, no goals between the two of them. You know, like you said, they're very cold. 51 shots, 1 goal. You know, 2% shooting percentage. I mean, that's not sustainable. Obviously, you know, we obviously expect more than that. But again, I mean, you know, you're not talking about a lot of shots on goal, and you know, specifically, Florida's doing something right, like you said, because, you know, these aren't necessarily quality chances that are happening. It's
right.
Just a lot of let's fling it to the net and hope something happens. So you're adding just another layer of what we call variance or luck or however you want to call it into the mix. It's tough. It's tough to win that way. And then, you know, oh, by the way, Florida is a very, 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 very good hockey team. And we've seen that throughout the series. So this is a tough one. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Florida is able to close this one out.
No, it's definitely looking that way. Is there any bets jumping out at you that you're liking in these next two games?
Not at this point. I mean, you'd have to kind of think, you know, maybe Florida gets the gentleman's sweep, so maybe I would look to bet Edmonton in game 4. It's kind of win one, and then, you know, Florida closes it out in game 5. But otherwise, you're just betting on regression that McDavid is not going to be held scoreless, so maybe anytime goal scorer type situation for him or Draisaitl. But other than that, I mean, all the betting markets are now kind of fully baked. You're not going to get much value in, let's say, like the series price or, you know, anything like that.
Well, switching up to the NBA Finals, it's certainly, I mean, I went into the Finals thinking that it was going to be maybe the Mavs in 6, and now I have the Celtics in 5. I mean, they're moving the ball really well. Kristaps Porzingis has been a problem. I mean, last game, Drew Holiday goes off. I mean, just a complete effort from the Celtics in games 1 and 2. Who needs to step up the most for the Mavs? Is it Kyrie or is it the supporting cast, the PJ Washington perhaps? Luka Doncic has been terrible on defense. Who is it that deserves the most blame?
Yeah, that's a good question. Full disclosure, I have a 22-1 Mavericks future from last year to win the NBA title. So I was very excited to see them in the finals. I thought they'd be a lot more competitive, but like you said, they really haven't. You know, Luka's doing his thing. you know, you have to get secondary scoring, right? I mean, the benches in the NBA playoffs tighten quite a bit. You know, we kind of just talked about this with the NHL, right? And like, if your best players aren't making shots or aren't getting opportunities, then it's just not gonna work. You know, Kyrie Irving has had a lot of trouble with the Celtics guards. I mean, they're strong. They have some length at the rim. He hasn't really had some good looks. You know, I think that you need like a 1-2 punch in the NBA. The super teams are gone, so you absolutely need like a Batman and Robin type. And right now they have like super duper Batman and like Alfred, right? Like nobody else that's kind of like running alongside him. So yeah, Alfred. I would say Kyrie Irving is the guy that probably needs to pick it up quite a bit.
In terms of the Celtics, is there a certain performance? I mean, is it Porzingis? Who do you think is going to be the key for them to keep the momentum going? Because, I mean, it's been a pretty complete performance by Boston in games 1 and 2.
Yeah, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Jason Tatum has been doing what he's been doing. You know, they I think going in, Boston's game plan was probably Luka's going to do what he wants to do. We're not going to let anybody else do that. And that's been working. So I think that, you know, there's really no need to deviate from them. They are underdogs in this game. Coming up tomorrow, they're two-point underdogs, which, you know, maybe shouldn't be too surprising, but, you know, they are underdogs, I think, for like one of the few times this season. But, yeah, I mean, if Porzingis starts to get going and he looks anything like he did back when he was the unicorn of the NBA, I mean, the Mavericks are in deep trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I got the gentleman sweep right now for the Celtics. Is there any betting action that's jumping out at you for the finals?
No, when we get this late, I mean, I would just bet on individual games. I think, you know, if you do think the Mavs have any sort of shot, you know, you probably want to start parlaying the money line because you'll get better value, I think, than you would on the actual series price. But every other menu item that they offer is really, it's really just kind of like throwing darts. I mean, you know, you can do the points, rebounds type stuff, but, you know, it's that market gets pretty efficient very, very quickly. So I would just caution that if you're going to make any bets into this market at this point, you know, try to be as sure as you can because there's a lot of efficiency out there right now.
What are you liking for the MVP?
I mean, probably Tatum, right?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, he hasn't. Like Tanner just said in my ear, he doesn't have a great shooting percentage. I'm not a Jason Tatum hater by any stretch, but I mean, you mentioned Porzingis. I mean, Jaylen Brown's been pretty consistent throughout this playoff series, throughout these playoffs. I mean, is it simply Tatum, or could you see it going to somebody else? I know Tatum's the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I think the voters like the superstar. So if he does anything well, like not even like super duper, like if he does stuff good, and Boston wins, they probably reward that. Porzingis would have to dominate a game that perhaps was like unwinnable, and then you know pulls it out for the Celtics one or two nights. You know, I don't see it. I don't know. Like I'm trying to imagine a scenario where Luka wins it with not winning the title. I mean, I don't think we'd ever see that. But you know, if anybody has a chance to do that, if he just starts going off. That to me would be a very, very interesting discussion to have.
Neil Knuckles Greenberg joining us. Before we get you out of here, by the way, give him a follow at N Greenberg on Twitter and at the Washington Post, talking a little horse racing, NHL and NBA. Anything jumping out at you on the baseball side? I saw a fun parlay with rookie phenom Paul Skeens, who's been balling out for Pittsburgh. But anything kind of jumping out at you on the hardball side?
Yeah, I'm kind of liking like stolen base props for the Washington Nationals. You look at, you know, baseball and where it is right now. You know, a lot of it is long ball, home runs, big swings. but I think small ball is kind of making its way back. I mean, you look at certainly Washington, certainly the Brewers, you know, playing small ball. So I think like the Nationals are very aggressive on the base paths right now, and I'm looking at the props, and I don't think the market has fully adjusted for that. So I would say it's worthwhile to start looking at some of the Washington stolen base props. You know, you got a guy like Jacob Young. If you can find him available, or even like Lane Thomas is today, I think is like plus 280. You know, he's got 15 stolen bases this year. You know, and Jesse Winkler is like plus 800. He's got 11 stolen bases. I mean, like that to me, CJ Abrams has 10 and he's plus 210. So like a guy that has more stolen bases is getting almost four times the price. You know, those are the type of markets that I'm looking at because I don't think. I don't think they've adjusted fully to what's happening in Washington.
Nice. I'll have to keep an eye on that. That's a good one to know. I completely forgot, and I lied. Sorry. One last question. I completely forgot it's U.S. Open week. Scottie Scheffler continue his run, or you got somebody else?
I mean, I don't know. It's so tough to bet against him at this point. He's so good. So let's just take him out of the equation. You know, you have Morikawa. You have maybe Matt Fitzpatrick. You know, Rory certainly is someone that we should talk about. I want to say Tony Finau, but any time that I put a wager on Tony Finau, he never does well.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, a guy like Finau and maybe even Hovland are probably worth looking at this week.
All right, there you have it. Neil Knuckles Greenberg joining us from the Washington Post. Give him a follow at ngreenberg and at washingtonpost.com. Neil, we appreciate the time, man. You enjoy your week.
All right, talk to you soon.
Take care, man. Neil Knuckles Greenberg, always appreciate having him. I should have asked him the soundtrack question. Damn it.
Normally,
and he's used to me asking him all kinds of stupid crap. Like, who would win in a fight, Superman or Yoda? But Yoda's like, lightsaber's made of kryptonite. You know, like, I mean, he's used to me asking him all kinds of dumb crap, which I might actually have to ask him that because I feel like that'd be a good question. Who wins in that Superman-Yoda matchup? But, no, good stuff from Neil. Going to look into that stolen base thing. That could be
kind
of fun. That
was interesting.
Yeah,
I heard him talking about that. Like, man, to get that much value.
Yeah,
like,
oh, a couple shekels on that. Yeah. It's always fun when you get ahead of the curve before Vegas and company, like, catch on. Because once they catch on, you're done.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, they're so good.
But the most shocking thing out of that whole thing, he said, was at the beginning. He's like, it could mean the end of horse racing? Did you peep that? Oh my goodness. Like, I've heard like little rumblings about that, but like for him to say they're not leaning into the gamblers, they're leaning more into the trainers and owners, and if they don't lean into the gamblers, it could like eliminate their sport?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, Neil's been critical of horse racing before in the past, and I'm not saying he's wrong.
No.
But that's why I wanted to ask him because I knew he wouldn't hold back.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so, that would just be, and I know a lot of, I hate to say it, and I feel like this is also indicative of the problem, like a lot of the nation would be like, who the truck cares? Like if horse racing goes away. Mm. Like at the same time, it's like, all right, cool. You know, that cool thing I do with my friends once a year, maybe. Mm. Like, went away, whatever. I got football to bet on. But right here in the backyard,
absolutely.
I mean, I couldn't imagine horse racing going
like
away.
Not being a thing?
I mean, for God's sake, I mean, we're a couple of, you know, yards away from Churchill Downs. Like, I mean, the mecca of horse racing. I couldn't fathom that. But,
He's got a point, though. Like, to his point, he's saying, because let's be honest, gambling's driving a lot of things right now.
Oh, God,
now.
Yeah.
Like the sports books, like that's why there's so many that pop up. I feel like every day there's new ones all the time.
Well, and it drove one of the reasons the NFL is as popular as it is was, I mean, we were all betting on it years before it became legal.
And so now that like the sports books are legal and the sports books are putting, I mean, they're feeding a lot of people. Like here at ESPN Louisville, you don't hear those BetMGM and DraftKings reads for no reason.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, they're feeding a lot of people. So for a sport that I always felt like, even before most sports, was like a gambling sport, like to not lean into the the resurgence or the explosion of gambling, not the resurgence, but more like the explosion of sports books and gambling. That was interesting to hear. I didn't really know that was a take. I knew that people have been, you know, fighting against horse racing, you know, between whether it's animal rights or whatever. But like to hear him say like they're leaning more into owners and trainers and not the bettors. That was a cool take.
Yeah.
To hear that.
No, I mean, that's a good point because I mean we've heard all of the complaints about horse racing being a doping. I mean, a lot of it was Baffert versus Churchill and the doping aspect of it, and then that trickled into the whole safety aspect
of
the horses.
Yeah, a bunch died a couple of years.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like
all the
30
breakdown,
horses,
Santa Anita,
and then
Churchill Downs shutting down last year. No, I mean it was. I mean we'd heard those complaints about the sport, and I think they're very tangible ones.
Yes.
I mean, those are ones that got a lot of traction and everything. But the actual gambling aspect, I hadn't heard as much until from Neil. So,
I think it's because Churchill leans, I mean, they very much lean into gambling.
Right.
So, like, that's not a thing here. Like, you can bet on Twin Spires. You can books in the, like, I think Sports Illustrated did a whole, like, section for their little, you know, gambling stuff. So that's not, like, a thing here, but, like, outside of here.
Right.
It sounds like it's not as it's maybe looked down upon or not. They're not leaning into that. And that's interesting.
It's interesting also when you take a step back and you look at it. Like, I think of the major sports betting websites, you know, I'm talking about all the ones that you hear here on our website, Caesars, DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, DraftKings? Yes. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. FanDuel, I think, is the only one that has horse betting on it. I could be completely wrong about that.
Wow,
but
I
like,
didn't know that. Like, I never thought about that, yeah. Because I just go into Inspire, so like
I Yeah, same.
So.
I mean, that's been my, my go-to for, but, you know, like Twinspires and TVG.
Yeah.
You know, like it still seems to be, I think FanDuel's the only one of the main, you know, you know, Bet365. Yeah. Like, I don't think any of them have horse racing. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. Maybe it's because I only bet on Twinspires, like you said. I don't notice it, but I know it's not on BetMGM. I know it's not on DraftKings. I think FanDuel does stuff because they're at a lot of tracks doing, like, they're at Keeneland. They're at Kentucky Downs. When we broadcast it out there, I always see Maria Montgomery. That's that's how I know it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to miss Maria Montgomery, you know. So we got breaking news. What do we got?
This is wild. I actually didn't believe it at first. Joey Chestnut, has been banned from the 2024 Nathan Hot Dog Eating Contest. Major League Eating says the 16-time winner is unable to compete due to his endorsement deal with Impossible Foods because it's like a vegan thing. So. No Joey Chestnut this year.
Wow.
This is 4th of July, dude, just got weird.
Major League Eating, like,
it's a hell of a thing.
It's a hell.
I thought it was like an onion post, and I was like, no, this is
no,
really
this
real.
Is, like, they can't get in, like, talk about something that is, like, something that can't get out of its own way. It's kind of reminding me a little bit of the WNBA, something that is, but like if the WNBA is in that tertiary thing,
yes,
Major League Eating is in like level five, like it's way the hell out here.
We literally only care about
the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest
on July 4th, and mainly because of Joey Chestnut,
right? But they've done stuff like this to their stars.
That's stupid.
So like Takeru Kobayashi, the guy
he was Joey before Joey.
He was Joey before Joey. They finally had a little rivalry with him and Kobayashi, and they pissed him off.
Yes,
to the point where he left Major League Eating over endorsement deals. And basically, because I don't know if you remember, I'm an eating enthusiast.
I gotcha. I remember when he was the thing.
No,
I didn't think he would ever get beaten. And then this guy named Joey Chestnut popped up. And it's like, oh, no, he's the GOAT. He's actually the GOAT.
Well, Takeru Kobayashi started doing his own, like, rogue hot dog eating contest. Like, he would just go up on, like, a rooftop of some random building and set his own timer and do his own hot dog eating contest for a couple years. Then, tragically, jaw injury kind of cut his career, you know, cut him down.
It's like a torn ACL.
You hate to see it.
Oh no, it's worse than that. It's like breaking your neck or something. Like, it's like you can't have your jaw, you can't do anything. Oh, it's over.
You hate to see that happen. Cut down in their prime. But I mean, we were robbed of some really good Takeru Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut head to head matchups because of some stupid endorsement deal. Major League Eating.
That's stupid.
Like, they're going to really, like, pull their weight around and make it so that, like, you can't.
Like, these guys are bigger than the sport. Like, they're like, Joey Chestnut is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating guy. Like, only
nobody
reason why I'm tuning
knows
in.
What Major just, League Eating is.
Yes, I just found out what Major League Eating was today. I didn't even know that was the thing.
It's one of those things.
And you shouldn't know.
And now they're going to ban their biggest name ever. I mean, it was bad enough it happened with Kobayashi, but they're banning their biggest name ever in the sport, Joey Chestnut, because he has some sort of vegan deal. I'm sorry, optically,
maybe,
this looks stupid.
Maybe it's
as
an
hell.
MJ thing where it's like, hey, we know about the gambling thing. You retire for 3 years. Let's say you're playing baseball and stuff, and then now he's going to have a cooking show for like 2 years, and then he's going
to
be back.
It's
and
just dumb. Because, I mean, like, how can you fault someone for trying to get. I mean, it'd be one thing if it was like, look, you have a lucrative Major League Eating contract.
Exactly.
I couldn't even say that sentence without laughing.
Exactly.
How are you going to fault people for trying to go get, you know, make some money?
A Shohei Ohtani level size contract with Major League
Major League Eating.
But it's It's backloaded.
Yeah, and they only pay him in White Castle sliders. Like, yeah, yeah, like.
All right, so you get get two for this event, one for the next one. But at the end of the year in December, you're gonna get 30.
Sound good? Thirty thousand.
It's all about guaranteed burgers. Exactly. You want guaranteed? That's where the value is.
No, but this is ridiculous. This is stupid. I'm reading it too, Tanner. Like. All of this is going to do is make him a bigger star. Because now he's a martyr. And he's
one's going to watch it now.
No.
Why would I? It's usually on ESPN, too. Yeah,
Nobody's going to watch it because it's like, you're the fake winner. Like, real winner was banned for a stupid rule.
Right.
Like,
now, Joey Chestnut, he has been beaten by Matt Megatoad.
Yeah,
Stoney.
It's not that he can't lose, but I'm not going to count.
Nick, how do you know all these guys?
Because I do know.
Oh, you know Megatoad, yeah.
I do follow Major League Eating. I follow the rankings a little bit. What can I say? It's always been my dream.
He's going to high school cafeterias looking up prospects. He's like, look at that kid down there.
He's got a Megatoad jersey. Like, how do you get one of those?
Guys, U of L just got a crazy commit.
I saw this kid in Pittsburgh knock down 45 pierogies. I'm telling you, he's the future. He's the future.
Like you,
Tim Lebitowitz.
Like, speaking of that, have you guys, like, I know because you guys over on Maben, you have the four pegs read and stuff. Right. And, you know, you've been in four pegs and you see all the numbers, like how many ribs somebody's ate, how many chicken wings. Like, you ever thought, like, man, I could get on that board?
That's the thing. I mean, I did the hot dog eating contest at the Bat Stadium twice.
Oh.
Yeah, they actually named me, they stripped Joseph Federley of the title, and they named me the champion, okay. Even though I was tied for second place with John Bull and some podcast guy, I can't remember his name, sorry. Handsome.
How long ago was this?
This was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And then,
if they did one today, would you do it?
I'd do it again.
Okay.
I've learned two things.
Yes.
One, I am a speed eater. Mm. I am not... I don't have endurance.
Okay.
Like, so if we're doing like a, I'm like the Usain Bolt of eating.
Yes.
If we're doing a 3-dog sprint, I'd put me up against Joey Chestnut.
Okay.
Like, but I'm talking about once it gets to
capacity,
It's
over.
No endurance. And also the other thing is this, like when I did a thing in college called the hot dog trick. Which, like, would always... people gave me that...
I don't even know. That doesn't even sound right. That's what
you might not want to say this. There might be cops listening.
The look Jeff gave me and the sound you made is... No, basically what I would do is I would eat a hot dog in, like, 1 second. Like, I could eat, like...
So you...
Okay, good.
Glizzy Gobbler.
Glizzy Gobbler, I was the glizzy Gobbler, for sure. But the problem is, like, I'd have to turn my head because I would laugh, because it's like, you know, I'm shoving meat in my face, and I don't want people to get disgusted by me, you know, nomming a hot dog. So I realized that I'm good at eating, but I have to be in a setting where probably there's some beers flowing.
Okay.
And I get stage fright. Like, I'm dead serious.
Oh, man.
Like,
I've been on radio for 10 years, Nick. You get stage fright?
Well, when it comes to shoving tube-shaped meat in my mouth, yes, I get a little nervous around people when everyone's out there cheering. So
I would say just think of everyone, or just look at everyone and think they're naked, but you wouldn't want to do that eating hot dogs.
Oh, God, that'd make it even worse. Oh, but also, the last two times I competed, I realized that, yes, sprint eater. Don't have endurance, get stage fright, but also I've messed up. The first time I trained for it, I did. Mm-hmm. I read that you're supposed to eat a bunch of salad, like it stretches your stomach. I went to Jason's Deli and ate literally like 6 pounds of food the night before the event. Oh. So much so that when the event happened, I wasn't hungry.
Oh.
I was still full from the night before. So the fact I choked down 10 hot dogs.
That's where you just get a coffee and a laxative, and they might say you're on PEDs.
And then this last time, I told them, like, I was like, do you really need me to come? Because I had a stomach flu. So I legitimately went to, like, urgent care, and I was choking down prescription, like, antacid stuff because I was sick. And so, like, I know I only ate 6 hot dogs. But I truly slept like a baby that night because I knew that I truly did the best I could.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, because I was like, the fact that I ate 6 hot dogs with a stomach flu.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was like, it wasn't a Jordan flu game-esque, yeah, but I was like, you know, because I was like, maybe I could get to 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And I took a bite and I almost had what they call in the sport a reversal.
Ooh.
Like literally, like I caught it at the last second. And I look down, and there's a family of 4 cheering. And I mean, and if they only knew how close they were to absolutely getting painted with hot dog. Like, I mean, it was so at that point, I was like, for their sake, I'm not winning this. Yeah, I don't need to window dress. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't cover the spread.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just, I pulled up. I was Big Brown in the Belmont. Yeah. I just pulled up, and I was like, 6 hot dogs or whatever I had it is. And then I tried to save face because I, you know, they hyped me up as the champion and I sucked. I came in like second to last. I tried to hype everybody up and I started throwing the hot dogs out to the crowd. And it was dollar hot dog night. Yeah. I didn't think the bats cared, but they cared because it was still kind of, it was like 2022.
Yeah.
Like it was like post COVID.
Oh, okay.
So they were like, can you not throw out hot dogs?
Nikki the Lib. Oh, wow.
And so, I start doing it and all the other competitors start doing it. Like, and they're all hucking all these hot dogs to people. And the people are all
going
cheering.
Crazy, yeah.
And the girl working is like, stop, stop, don't do that. And I was like, oh, my bad. But before that, again, the hubris, Jeff, I tried to save face. I was like, I can't eat anything. I'm sick. But your boy has a hose.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm throwing this hot dog all the way up the line. I'm going to Kelsey Plum this bitch. And I see way, because we're doing this on top of the dugout.
Okay.
So it's on top of the, bat's dugout. Mm-hmm. I see these kids way up the third baseline. And I'm like, I got you. And so I point at them and I turn and I mean, with everything I have, throw this balled up hot dog, like wrapped in foil. And it's ball-ish shaped, and it's got the weight of the foil. It's going. And I zip this thing. And has the distance, doesn't have the height.
Okay.
So I smack. Trajectory was off a little bit. I throw this thing as hard as I can. Like with like not hyperbolic. As hard as I can up the line. And the kids are in the third row. This old woman is in the first row. And I smack the crap out of her, like right in the face. Like just nail this woman in the face with a hot dog. And it she takes it like a champ.
Oh, my goodness.
Like this woman's like, I lived through the depression. I don't give a crap. Like it hits her. She catches it and in like one motion hands it to the kids behind her. And I'm like, sorry. And she's just like, it's all good. I mean, she didn't even flinch. I mean, and I had to have thrown this hot dog like 50 miles an hour. And I hit her right in the face. And she did not even, like, that's how I knew that woman was a badass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I'm like, well, that's a lawsuit. And she just was like, nah, whatever, and just gave it to the kids behind her. And then, yeah, so I would happily do the contest again just to prove to myself that I can put up a decent number. And I'm not going to do some stupid eating thing beforehand.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have the weight of the world on my shoulders as the champion and be sick. I would just do it for S&Gs.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, finally, maybe I could win the damn thing.
Okay. So we got to get Greg Galliott to get on that. We got to get Greg.
If
yeah.
you're listening
yeah.
and you want to do another media hot dog eating contest, I'll definitely do it again. And we can maybe get somebody from the last time we did it, I represented ESPN 680. Jack Roseman represented 93.9, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you wanted to do it with me, like, you know, I'll be 93.9. You could be 93.9, whatever. Like,
I don't know how great I'd be at a hot dog eating contest, but I'll be there cheering you on.
Okay, my man. And then I'll throw a hot dog at
yeah,
you, you know, so you get a free hot dog
there
out of
go.
This. Tanner, I don't know about you. Could you knock down some glizzies? You strike me as a glizzy gobbler.
Like I
say that with love.
No, I definitely could not competitive eat. I eat like a bird.
See, I don't know who.
I'm more of a leftovers guy. Like we're all like half my dish, and then I'll be like, all right, I'll save this for later.
Zachy C, I feel like could possibly get in on the hot dog action. I don't know.
I could see him thinking he's good at it. Like, and I say this also with love. But I'm telling you, this sounds like I'm going to sound like such
all
a
life, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to sound like such a douchebag here. But until you're in the trenches,
yeah.
and you see all the people, like seriously, I didn't realize how hard it is.
Yeah,
like you know, I mean, these guys really do like train for this.
No, because
I came walking in and I was like, I'll be fine, whatever. You know, no, Like, I mean, you have everybody cheering at you, like cheering for you, and like, or like, I got nervous. Like, yeah. I don't know how you deal with the pressure of it. Like, because I mean, you got to be kind of relaxed to eat.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things. Like, if you, like, we all played sports. Mm-hmm. You know, the big game. That, you know, what do you do? You don't sleep and you don't eat. Mm-hmm. Well, when you have the pressure of competing and you have to eat, I didn't realize like how hard that was. So why are you standing up?
I don't know. I'm over here. It was supposed to be two.
It
was supposed to be 2 o'clock, and then it's 2:20. I thought the story was going to end.
Nick, you just went shut the hell up.
Like, yeah, you just kept going. Before you go to break, I got to paint the picture.
That's my bad.
I got to paint the picture for you guys for the hot dog eating contest day. Nick Valvano, this is when he was driving his Mazda. He parks in a player spot.
That's a rock star move.
It's like Dontrell Willis on a stint with the Bats or something like that. And he's taken up like two spots.
I remember this was the douchiest thing I've probably ever done. I pulled in and I already felt sick, but I said, damn it, I'm part of the show.
You took up two spots, and it blatantly says players only.
Yeah,
and you and Nicky V parked there, and you and Jack Grossman. Who'd you lose to? Dwight? No, it was Kevin Furline. It was Britney Spears.
Joseph Federley.
Federley. It always makes me think of K-Fed. First year,
you know, I like Joe. I like Joey Feds. It was controversial.
Yeah.
Because, and here's the thing I learned. Don't ever cheat if you're competing against John Bull, the investigative reporter.
He runs marathons. He's hungry.
So he counted all the buns that Joseph Federley didn't eat. And because of that, they retroactively stripped him of the mustard belt. And so technically he won. John Bull, myself, and this other like podcaster tied for second. Like Joseph Federley, quote unquote, 8:13. We all tied in 8:10. The second time we did it, Dwight and a fan ate like 11, or each ate like 10, and then they ate a one dog playoff, and Dwight won. So Dwight of the afternoon underdogs is the defending, as far as I know, the defending hot dog eating champion, because I don't think they did it the last 2 years.
Gotcha.
So that's
when I heard you talking hot dogs, I was like, yeah, my favorite thing is you coming in what, fourth place? It said that. No, seriously, there's a graphic on there that it says like fourth place Nick Valvano, like on wave three. Okay. It's great. It needs to be your background photo.
The first time, I forgot about that. I think it was Brian Good. The first time we did it, I was so sick from all the food I ate the night before. I did the contest. And Brian, like, you know, interviews me. And I was like, all right, that was fun. I'm going to go throw up now. And he was like, ha-ha. And I'm like, no, Brian, I'm serious. So
he
turned the camera off. And the woman was in the process of changing the bag in the trash can. And I was like, 1 second. And just projectile, like, straight up, like, right out of the, you know, the Exorcist style. Just, I mean, it was brutal. So I don't know why I'm doing this again, if they do it again, but I'll definitely do it again. Phil, will you do it with me?
No, not at all. There's no tiptoeing a maybe or not.
Who else would do it with me?
I think Zachy C would say he would do it. I'm with Jeff on that. And then either like talk a big game and get stage fright. And that's not a knock on him.
It happens. It happened to me twice.
Biscuit, maybe. But I feel like Biscuit's past that now, where he's just like, I'm just here. I got to golf. I'm in it for a good time. Right. Like, I feel like Biscuit at 20 years old, like, y'all ain't standing a shot against him.
Oh, yeah.
No. Like, it's just, no, but I think that's behind him now. Here, I don't know. I don't think there's anybody else. Maybe make an intern do it, but that may be hazing.
Would Bosch do it?
I don't think so.
Well, maybe we can get Aiden to do it. Intern Aiden, that evidently is somehow working here and not getting college credit.
All right, they could definitely be about to. Tanner just said break like 3 years.
Yeah, go to break. Yeah, go to break. Yeah, go to break before he super kicks us.
My bad. I didn't realize how hard it is. This came down the text line 437-9680.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
part of the show, text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
V-Show going down the stretch here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Jeff Leitze Jr., Phil Baker, the fabulous one, joining us in studio as we go down the stretch, leading up until the roundtable with James Strebel at 3. I think Anna Tarullo is going to be on with him. It's always fun when she comes in because the studio smells better. Because she always smells really good. And so, and I know, like, you know, they've made fun of me about for saying that. And I
was about to say, don't get too, like,
no.
Don't get too
I know
crazy,
I sound
man.
Creepy, but like, no, like, seriously, it's the same. We have like the same five good smelling people. Like, Anna Rummage always smells great. Sofaro, when he comes in, usually like reeks slightly of like a Jimmy John's, like, Vito sandwich and Gabagool, but he also does smell okay. But you guys are decently smelling people. But
we're
I'm
not
saying,
overwhelming from the standpoint of some of
you
those.
You guys never smell bad. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some people that smell bad occasionally. I would sometimes fall in
just,
that category.
You were just digging. Digging.
Yeah, I know.
Digging this hole, my man.
I know. And I'm just, yeah, I'm just
see, this is the
here.
Segment that I wanted to do with Zachy C on Sundays, whatever, when he fills in for Strebel, for the producing for James. I want him to just have, like, a bucket of topics. And whenever you are getting in a hole that you cannot climb out of, you just hit that, and it's like Caitlin Clark, WNBA, go.
Know, yeah.
And it just it just resets everything. But if you want to keep going down who smells like Abercrombie & Fitch and Holster, then who smells like Hot Topic, please, by all means, I'm here for it. I'll just sit back and listen.
That's fair. I'm going to step back. Jeff had a topic you wanted to get to, so
you know,
I'm sorry.
Every year, Mike Rutherford does the Car Chronicle least favorite person of the year.
Right,
he does that thing.
Least cool person or something.
Least cool person of the year. Obviously, we know who's going to win.
Right. I mean, it's
going to be
Kenny Payne.
Without question, it's going to be Kenny Payne. But if you had any other, like, nominations or anybody that you think is, like, worthy of being like, oh, this person kind of stunk this year.
That,
like,
is a good question.
Whether it was, like, I don't, like, because Kenny, like you said,
yeah, he's minus 20,000, like, the favorite.
Yeah. So, that's a good point.
That is a good question. Man,
that's really good.
That's thought-provoking
there. Maybe I should have asked it during the break, because I am curious, because
the text line can help out.
I want to know, like, who else is, like, a villain right now. Like,
I know,
like, Kenny's kind of, like, so, like, he occupies so much of the space.
If you wanted to reach with, like, loose tentacles affiliated with the university, maybe at a conference level, maybe Jim Phillips with maybe not being aggressive enough.
Yeah,
you know, I think he gets dunked on unfairly sometimes for just kind of the uncertainty of college athletics.
It's not all the way his fault.
But he could be more aggressive in a lot of things. And, you know, it's kind of your hands tied behind your back. But he went out and got Cal, Stanford, and SMU, which I know didn't excite people. But, maybe him. Anybody else?
I don't know. I was going to say maybe Haley.
Haley Van.
I kind of feel bad because she got cooked so bad by Caitlin Clark. You know, and that would have happened to anybody.
It happened to pretty much everybody else.
It would have happened to anybody.
Alone.
That's not a shot at Haley. But I almost feel like that Haley, there's a tiny part of me.
She's probably like the second place or whatever.
That's a good one.
She's probably second. Yeah, I don't know.
I can't think of anybody else.
I think because he's so overhelmingly the favorite.
I got one.
Officer Gillis.
That's a good one, too.
That's a good one.
That wasn't mine.
He's surging. He's surging up the board.
He could be second place.
I'm just saying.
No, he's on there.
After the photos of the injury.
I gotta be honest. It was funny. The teacher at my daughter's daycare, she took a tumble down and, like, just both knees just obliterated. It was terrible. And she's like, it just in passing, somebody's like, well, not as bad as the officer. And I was like, dang. I was like, man, I was like, that's something that would come from me. Yeah. But, like, so another one would be maybe, oh my goodness, I had a good one and then I just lost it because I was talking about Officer Gillis, you were saying. Haley Van Lith. Penny Boone's agent.
Like the combination.
Yeah, the combination.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's one that's recent. You know, it got a lot of you and Dean are doing the Twitter spaces. Got a lot of people's juices flowing for that one.
That's a good one.
And between Penny Boone and the agent, then do you lump them together?
Making
a nice little field.
Saying that the checks were bouncing and these narratives. That's not necessarily a person. That's kind of a narrative that was created.
But that's part of the poll. Yeah, it's a bunch of of these that aren't even people. like one at like 2020 was the coronavirus. 2022 was the NCAA AARP. 2023 was the 22-23 Louisville basketball men's basketball team.
Like, I mean, so, a part
it's
of me
just like a collective.
And I know Mike won't do this because it's such a layup, and it's going to be overwhelming. But a part of me, it's like, it's so easy to pick KP. I kind of don't want, and you get the 80s guys to get more of that void with that. It's kind of the.
I think he's just going to be so overwhelmed.
Yeah,
that, like it's no way you can't say that.
And after
like,
the recent comments of on the same page.
And exactly. You just threw more gasoline on a fire that was pretty much burnt out, and then you just lit it back up, and it's like, oh, okay, it's so overwhelming. It's going to win. Like it's, but like the Officer Gillis, the Penny Boone agent, like those are like Penny Boone and his agent, like those are.
It's thought. This is a thought. Provoking exercise because it was such a KP is just such a favorite.
Exactly. It's like, no, you're not gonna win, so it's like everybody's fighting for second place. Like, what is the best second place finisher?
Right.
Like, what is the
help
best
us out text line if we're missing anybody 4379.
Because I'm also trying to think also like because there's nothing really UK related that can be like hated on because you know there's I mean.
Well, did you say that on the air or did you say that over?
No, that was just in our ear. But yeah, no,
I mean, okay.
There's definitely that thing. So I'm just curious to what everybody like the least favorite person of, you know, 2024 essentially
in terms of sports.
Could do the TV networks of just kind of driving the uncertainty of college athletics. Yeah. I'm just kind of reaching out for, but
that's a thing. That's not like
where does Martha Stewart rank
with the Connecticut thing?
That's a good one.
Blank was ready to go to war against their band because of
that was
the
rough.
Riders up.
That
the Riders up was
the
awful.
Riders up was rough. That was a tough one.
Yeah, that was.
I like Martha Stewart. Could have
did better.
That was
definitely could have did
swing and a miss there.
Could have definitely did better on the Riders Up selection or just give me something. Like, give me something to whatever the hell that was.
God, Connecticut? Man.
Give me something. Like, what is going on? No, that is funny. I wonder, Nolan Smith will probably in nominations.
Yeah.
Like, he might be in the nominations. I think a lot of people kind of rubbed off the wrong way. He's probably on there. He's like a dark horse.
So
he's
like a dark horse. Also receiving votes.
Votes. Yes, absolutely.
Corey Alexander.
Yeah.
That's a good one. There we go, Tanner.
The head patting. You just say the head patting from Corey Alexander could be its own.
Corey Alexander and the head pats. Yeah. That sounds like a band.
Corey Alexander and the head pats. That's indefinitely down. You could see him at the Toy Tiger in the mid-90s. Yeah, right. Or Cahoots. Let's see. That's a good
Cahoots. Oh, man.
That's a blast from the past. Mark Emmert coming down here.
Mark Emmert. And everybody hates NCAA, so that's always easy.
This texter says, did you see that one?
It just popped up.
Nick's head could guard Caitlin Clark. It is a big head. Team C-section over here. That's fair. So
that's a good question. I'm curious of any others that have affected just the local team. I mean, you could do the Cal Mitch Barnhart rift if you're. I know this is more of the related to the Louisville side of things, but I'm just trying to think for the area or the region.
Yeah, Mitch Barnhart won back in 2009. Don't know what happened, but
for like one day, Dusty May.
Yeah, that's a good one. I saw him, our buddy Cam Drummond, who comes on with Strebel and I on Thursdays during the Blitz. He's now at the Orlando NBA PA's Top 100. Caden Magwood's down there, former Louisville native for that. But he had
Pat Kelsey's actually there. Right
Pat
now,
Kelsey
too.
There as well. Oh, nice. But I saw Dusty May sitting behind some UK assistants down there that Cam tweeted out. And I just like, oh, yeah, I forgot. He's at Michigan.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Like, I forgot. Oh, yeah. That's
a thing.
Oh, yeah.
That is a thing.
Did you guys see it's Mel? Because we brought up Melo earlier. His son's playing in one of those
things. Oh, balling
out,
too.
He had 39 shot attempts, one assist. He is his son. There's no DNA test needed.
You are the father.
Comes by it honestly. That's for sure. Oh, man.
He is Melo's son.
You know, this is just popping up here, and this is a generic thing. But tip screens, like in terms of like the least
Ooh.
Cool thing.
Oh, like on the iPad.
Oh, that's a good
they're
one.
Out of control.
No,
and
yeah.
And I work in the service industry. I know Phil has an affinity for it. I don't know if
Same.
You ever did.
I worked at Texas Rust.
Yeah, okay.
Years.
So, So team, we're all,
see,
yeah.
Earth, wind, water, heart. Right. We're putting it with our powers combined. We were restaurants. Captain Planet.
But my God, dude.
No,
it's everywhere. I had legitimately.
It's a good one.
Incredibly nice guy. Like, great service. But I had someone asking for a tip at a merchandise booth
Ooh.
At a music festival I was at. And I was like, sure enough, my punk ass did it.
it's an awkward thing. You know, you don't want to be that guy.
I was like, are you serious? You handed me socks. Like, why am I tipping you?
Now, tip screens have gotten out of control.
I got into the conversation a little late, though. But the guy that tried to burn down the Krispy Kreme.
Be
still my heart. Yeah, that guy. Well, it still's got a tarp over there, man. I was like, oh, maybe it's open. It's not.
It'll be back.
It's back better. But it's funny. Locke was ahead of his time on this. Lachlan McLean, when you were producer of the show, and it's not shown on the Jamal Murray video for other reasons that may have been out there. It was another topic he was right about. It was whatever he said, you know, getting a beer, twisting it off, and just like handing it to me. Locke was like adamant about like not tipping about that. And I'm just kind of like, well, it depends. Are you going to like keep going back? Hey, I'm going to go ahead and give you a five. And just so you know that like we're good for the remainder of the night when you come back. But there's some where it's like I'm getting the cup. I'm putting the cup there and it's offering the tipping thing. Like it's an awkward Larry David Seinfeld type of thing where you're just like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you're asking for tips at McDonald's. It's like, get out of my face. Like, knock it off, bro. Like, what is going on right now?
They're actually making hourly, so like,
it's insane. It has gotten out of control.
The most wild one, though, was that merchandise. And, like, it'd be one thing if, like, the dude was knitting me the socks. But literally, all he did was go, thanks, just going to ask you a couple questions. And that is like, no. No.
Don't ask me nothing. I just hand you cash. I didn't even use a card. Like, leave me alone.
I will say this. I will tip a higher amount or tip in general if the person's honest with me. Like, if they don't do the bull spit thing of, like, it's going to ask you a couple questions. What's it going to ask me? My astrological sign?
What's your blood type?
What's my blood type? You know, who do I think's hotter, Marianne or Ginger in Gilligan's Island? No. It's going to ask me for a truckin' tip.
Yeah.
So if the person goes, it's going to ask you about tips, like, if they say that, I'm like, guess what, buddy? You just got an 18%.
You just earned your tip.
Yeah. I was like, because you like, at least, like, didn't tiptoe around this bull crap. like, I did see, and I brought this up earlier, and as guys that are, you know, we're all service industry. This whole show is service industry. How do you feel about this stance? I think there were these guys on Barstool. I don't remember. But they said they're taking a hard and fast rule about tipping that, if you are being served standing up, I'm not tipping.
At a food truck or something
Just in general, anywhere. So if you go up and you're standing up and you're at a counter and you're ordering something, no tip. Now, I do think coffee, if you're at a coffee house and you have a complex order, like I need a double frappe macchiato with oat milk and steamed foam.
Yeah, that's not me.
Cold brew and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I hate that.
It's not like they're, you know, doing some crazy stuff. But, I mean, I say throw them a dollar for that. But besides that, I don't hate that. If you're standing up,
I mean, man has a code.
They're not coming to you. And I always want to put good tip karma out there because I believe it will come back to you.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Like, I 100% agree.
Shout out to Dontrell Willis. Fattest tip I've ever received in my life. But during his stint on the Louisville Bats
here. Just another reason. He's the man, dude.
I've told you that story, right?
03 rookie of the year, man. Let's go.
There was this guy, when he was down with the Louisville Bats here, I was waiting tables in college, and this guy, I thought he was stereotyping that I worked with. I was like, don't go up to him. That's not Dontrell Willis. He's got a hat. Like, he's like, I got his card in my car. And I'm like, Andy, don't do this, man. Like, it may not be him. Yeah, like, he's just eating it. He wanted a kid's pepperoni pizza and a barbecue chicken salad. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
And then he put his card down. It was a black card.
Yeah. Oh, good indication.
And I was like, okay. And then he goes up, and he may have indulged in some pre-shift activities to be feeling good, if you catch my drift. Server Andy. Mr. Willis, I'm a big fan. Can you sign this card? Sure enough, it was Dontrell Willis.
Wow. Nice. That would be me. That would totally be me.
Verbatim. And he left the fat tip for that. But Dontrell Willis was the man. He was awesome. He was a regular.
Do you remember how much it was?
It was. Kids cheese or pepperoni pizza was about, I mean, God, that had to be a decade ago. I would say, I mean, it was close to $100 for, I mean, not doing much at all. It was like, here's your kid's pizza, here's your salad. I don't even think I got a refill.
James wanted to let you guys know he has the same black card, by the way.
I knew that. As soon as I said that, I was like, yeah, that's and I saw James lurk it out there.
I just saw something behind you, by the way.
Okay.
Like, and this is, I'm doing I'm doing visual medium on an audio on an audio medium.
Yes, but I got one too.
Phil was in the middle.
He wanted me to say that. He wanted me to say I got this. Yep, I was going to let it rock. My man, you were talking. I was just like, yeah, I got that
not,
one too.
Not many of us do here. Not but many of us do. Yeah,
there's not many of us in ESPN Louisville. That's for sure.
But, maybe, but yes, you will do. Us.
I can think of maybe three.
I guess I can knight you all, or James can knight you.
Oh, my God. James. Some kid, I think, thinks we're on TV. Oh. Because I don't know if you saw it, but in the
I saw him standing there. I didn't know what he was doing.
He started walking. This kid.
Yeah. Saw him doing something.
And then he like looked at us, and then he slowly started
walking. I saw him backing
back.
Up, but I didn't know what he was doing.
He's looking for an address. Yeah. It looks like he's delivering
like,
something.
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah.
I thought he thought like this, like we were on like camera. It's like, no. Like, no, we are not. Like,
yeah. One time it was a guy I was doing the show on Saturday. I think he wanted to have a conversation with me. Like, he wanted me to open the door. I'm like, bro, I'm, like, talking.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what you're saying right. Luckily, I'm giving you enough eye contact to, like, motion, go away.
Bro. Yeah, bro.
But, oh, it's the walking like, dead here down on the weekends,
like,
man.
There's nothing I can do to help you out, buddy. Like,
there was a guy.
The amount of walk of shames I've seen on Sunday mornings here. Oh, my God.
I can only imagine.
It's the walking dead. It is the walking dead.
There's this one guy, and I see him every now and again, and he seems like a very nice guy. I'm assuming maybe homeless, but he wears this like Jack the Ripper ski mask.
Okay.
So one night, I worked a post-game show, and I'm just sitting, like, it's pitch black outside, and I'm just sitting watching, like, ESPN news. Like, I think it was, like, after, you know, I'm just watching, like, the college game day, like, recap.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear tink, tink, tink on the window, and I turn around, and he's standing there with his Jack the Ripper, like, mask waving at me. And, I mean, I'm happy I can say I didn't scream, but I was puckered. Your boy was puckered. I was like, what the fuck? Like, you know, and then he peeled, the hat and gave me, like, a wink and walked away. And I was like, well, this is how I die.
Yeah.
It was very – and every now and again, I see him just, you know, walking around with his
nice to know he's still going strong.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy for him. But, yeah, like, my God, it was terrifying.
Now, anybody with, like – because, you know, like, the Nike ski mask became really popular because of COVID. Yeah, I see anybody, whether you're old, young, or whatever, you got one of those on, I'm going the other way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm scared of all of you.
There's all of you. Isn't it called the shiesties?
The shiesties? No. Anybody with a – especially when it's 90 degrees and you have hoodies and shiesties on – yeah, I'm scared of you. You know, so I'm feared for my life. I'm going the other way. I'm good on all.
No, thanks.
That.
Yeah, totally. I'm good with you. On all nope. I was like, I'd like to think I would do something heroic. I wouldn't. I got robbed on the corner the other night, and the guy pulled out a machine for a tip. This guy says, that's pretty good. Let's see. I also have one of those cards for future reference.
Yeah. As soon as I was trying to land the plane, I was like, yeah, I know where this is going. But have you ever held one? God, I'm going to ask you. Yes, Jeff, you have. They are heavy.
No,
my
they
God.
Are. They're probably plated.
That was like my only, plated, that was like my first time ever. I was like, holy
they
hell.
They make a noise when you drop it on the table.
I think I did clumsily like drop this. Yeah, it was nice.
Clunks. Yeah, it's very clunky.
No, Ocho Cinco's really big on tips, too. And so his daughter was here at an event.
Like, yeah, she plays in Kentucky.
Yeah, and so she was at an event like a couple months ago, and he went to Dasha Barber's downtown, and I think he gave him like $1,000 tip.
Oh, he's notorious for that.
I did not expect that because he's like known as the cheap guy.
No, he's extremely frugal in terms of like
the stuff he buys for himself.
Yeah, but he eats at like McDonald's and then notoriously pregame meals from McDonald's.
Yeah, right.
And then, but no, he takes care of the service industry.
Yeah, so the server at Dasha Barber's got left like he tweeted about it. He was like, man, I just had some great food at Dasha Barber's in Louisville, and server, by the way. Hope you had a nice day, and it ends up coming out like the tip was like $1,000.
Yeah,
that's crazy,
awesome. Dude. That's wild. Crazy. I've had some great tips. I don't know what the best tip I've ever had is, but
yeah, I mean, Dontrell's was up there just from the but he got so like he was low maintenance and everything. Sometimes you've got some fat tips from just like a party of 30.
Big parties,
and
then tip on top of the gratuity. Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah, I've thought about, this is terrible, but I thought about, there's been days I've just been having a bad day and you get stiffed, and I've just been like, I know who this is. I mean, it says on there, Joe Jablonski. Or no, Joe Jablonski's actually a nice tipper, you know, but his brother Steven Jablonski sucks, you know. So but there's a tiny part of me that's like, not every server has the ability to be on the radio. And I was like, could
this
I?
This is what Dieter has instilled in you. Help your friends and hurt your enemies.
Could so, I definitely get a Dieter sued thing. If yeah. I go like Dennis Lebitowitz,
yeah.
truck you and don't come back to Lulu on market because like you were a pain in the ass. You asked for a bunch of refills. You said I did a great job and then gave me no money.
Oof.
Like, and I'm like, you know, but then I was like, could I be sued for that? And also, I don't know if the Lulu wants to be known. It's like, hey, Nick, can you stop putting people on blast?
Don't do that anymore?
Yeah, but there's also, there's a tiny part of me that's like, I want to be a voice for the voiceless because there's so many people that like have worked in the service industry. I mean, it sucks
so
when like when that happens to you.
I remember, so I wasn't a server. I was a busser at the Texas Roadhouse in Shively. That was like my first job I ever got, like in high school. And there was the guy that I was training me, I actually... Like, we went to school together, the same grade. He didn't play sports, and I was, like, my senior year, so I finally got to work because it was no sports season. I was done. I was graduating. And he was like, hey, man, like, he's showing me the ropes, and he had all this money. It felt like, he had so much money.
Waiting tables, yeah. here's my rent for this month. I'm good.
He just had so much money for a kid that, like, it's 17, 16, 17, whatever. So there was a server that was, like, notoriously, because the bussers get tipped out by the servers.
Right, right.
And so he's like, hey. This girl sucks, right?
Yeah.
If she, like, I left, like, three dirty tables, right? But she's about to get cut. If she pulls out $2, we're not cleaning anything.
I remember
And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a real one, G, because I didn't, like,
yeah, you got to show me the ropes.
I was like, oh, yeah, good. And so, sure enough, she walks up because he had left those tables dirty. He was like, hey, can you do my tables, blah, blah. And she pulls out none other than $2. She had the $2 ready. And he said, hell no. He walked away. And I was like, yeah, let's go. She's like, I will give you $10 if you clean my tables. And I'm like, that's more like
it. Yep.
Like,
yep.
valuable. Yep. Like, so it took me down that road. I'm like, oh, man. Shout out to Robin Lester, man. He helped me out. Robin McGowan. He helped me out a lot with that.
It's the movie Waiting. Yeah. Like, if you haven't seen the movie Waiting, it is like a training video for life if you work in the service industry. Maybe not in all aspects of like doing things with stuff. But there are a lot of things you could take from there. Maybe not dropping the steak on the floor and doing other things with it as well. But but you understand, like it is like they did a documentary at a lot of places.
I can truly say I've worked at a lot of different spots. I've never seen somebody intentionally mess up food. Like I've never, same here, but it was more so
you have the angry person that would vent that would come on of like
angry people, totally.
You mess up the order, you put it in incorrectly, you write something on there, it's like you got to put it back at the computer. That could be a tell-all book about that in itself.
And then like in the back, like you just hear like, oh, this person at table 307, it's just like she's such a you know just whatever. Like you get those stories are like, man, they're being a, or you can like, I can tell these people are about to walk out. Like, these people do not want to pay for this meal. Like, I can see it. Like, they've complained three times about this salad, but then ate all the meat out of the salad, and now it's like, oh, I don't want to pay for anything. Lady, you ate all
the Why didn't you say anything? Oh, my God. I mean, you hate seeing it. I almost feel like a pitcher. When you like, you have to keep an eye on them.
Yeah,
like, from stealing a base, you have to from the glance back. Like, how much are they?
Mick's got a full tray of stuff, but he's just like looking over there.
So you just gotta like make sure, like, okay, like, are they gonna complain about something? Yeah, it's just one of those things.
Got Billy Hamilton on first over there, about to take off.
Well, they got a substantial lead. Maybe I need to get over there. No, I'm telling you, we could do an entire podcast.
That
on the
is funny,
industry,
man.
But, yeah.
No, it's some funny stuff you see working at a restaurant.
Tanner, you got any restaurant stories? Or anything? I know you were industry too. You got anything?
I took care of Keenan Cole's dad. That was one time.
Who?
Keenan Cole. He was the WKU guy, and then he went to the Jags.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Keelan Cole.
I thought you were saying. I didn't know who you were talking about. I was like, is that a walk on for U of L?
I'm glad you guys didn't recognize.
I just nodded my head in agreement.
Yeah.
Keelan Cole went to Kentucky Wesleyan, actually, and made it to the NFL, which is way more impressive than just WKU.
That's incredible.
Yeah, no,
that's
he went to KWC, not WKU. That's huge.
Very impressive stuff. Well, fellas, I appreciate it. Phil, Jeff, the last couple days have been a lot of fun.
Of course.
Tanner, the ones and twos, appreciate it, man. Pop should be back tomorrow. The roundtable, the round daddy is next.
Happy 55th birthday to the Hand of the King, Tyrion Lannister, Peter Dinklage. He's 55.
How about that?
How about that?